Side 1, cassette number 30, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 3, division A, The Seven Cosmic Paths, on page 1247. Path 2, The Path of Magnetic Work.
A man on from step to step till he contacts his higher self, his master.
Dealing with that path which, of all the seven, expresses.
2, Middle West, USA, leading to California.
Remembered by those who have carefully read this treatise that this law is the expression of the spiritual will which produces the manifestation of the sun. Magnetism, physical attract.
Adequate supervision. Too apt.
In the three worlds as far as the human unit is concerned. It will be apparent therefore.
Of effort, power, and light. But the
is dealing with that reality which is the basis of all coherency in nature.
The pupil desire so to do, he is perfectly free to sevenfold application. D. The method of this development and the
to make certain cosmic approaches and upon which to make a series of cosmic unfoldments is one who has worked primarily upon the second ray path prior to the fifth initiation and who frequently has also been upon the fourth ray path. Adepts who have been upon the fourth ray path and who pass from thence upon the second ray do not, as a rule, choose this cosmic line of endeavor. Page 1248. Those who do the work of wielding forces or electrical magnetism for the use of the great ones on all planes pass to this path. They wield the elemental formative energy, manipulating matter of every density and vibration. Great waves of ideas and surging currents of public opinion on astral levels as well as on the higher levels where work the great ones are manipulated by them. A large number of fifth ray people, those who have the ray of concrete knowledge for their monadic ray, pass to this line of endeavor. The inherent quality in the type of the monad settles the line of activity. The karma of the fifth ray is one of the factors which produces this. These monads work with Fohat and must to the end of the greater Manvantara. They have their eventual position on the cosmic mental plane, but as yet the capacity for abstract thought is so little developed that it is impossible for us to comprehend the significance of this expression. Three types of magnetic work have been mastered by the adept who treads this second path. He has mastered, in the three worlds, the magical work of form construction through the manipulation of magnetic energy and the utilization of Fohatic attractive energy in order to bind the builders. This he does through the medium of a purified lower nature which can act as a perfect transmitter. He has learned also the secret of group coherence on the higher levels of the mental plane in connection with his own planetary logos and with those two other logoi who form with his own logos a systemic triangle within the solar system. He has passed on also to a comprehension of the forces which unite the various streams of living energy emanating from them in the furthering of the plans of solar evolution. This becomes possible to him when he can function in the monadic vehicle and is conscious in that unit of force. Page 1249. This has been expressed in the old commentary in the following words, quote, "The seven brothers love each other, yet each seeketh for many eons the path of hatred. They hate and kill each other until they find that which dieth not and is not hurt. Together then they stand and serve, and through their service the seven suns burn up." Close quote. The seven suns are destroyed because when synthesis and unity are reached, and when the differentiated forces become one homogeneous force, the attractive or magnetic effect of this coherence is a manifested unit on the physical plane as well as on the subjective side of nature. This produces necessarily the destruction of all limiting forms, the merging of the fires, and the blazing forth into objectivity of the vital body of the logos prior to the final abstraction and the subsequent dying out or obscuration of the solar system. The will or purpose aspect, which is the spiritual life behind all subjective and objective phenomena, suddenly makes itself felt and also seen. It is the production of this which is the main work of the adept who passes on to path two from off his particular ray path. Those who tread this second path work with magnetic or attractive energy because they have identified themselves with it. Eventually, they will all pass on to path seven, which is the path of absolute sonship. All that can be said here in regard to their efforts is the statement that this path carries them, through the medium of the logoic head center, into the heart of the one about whom naught may be said. They are swept out of systemic evolution altogether upon a great tide of attractive energy which emanates from one of the major centers of that great existence who is the source of the life of the solar logos. This center is, of course, one of the seven constellations, page 1250. As it is the most potent constellation, as far as our system is concerned, owing to the fact that this system predominantly expresses love or attractive energy, and our logos is as yet polarized in his cosmic astral body, it is not permitted to hint at the name of the constellation. The reason is that if the name were known, and if enough people could do the work of occult meditation and visualization, accompanying the work with a vivid imagination, it might be possible to attract into our system such a downpour of attractive energy from the constellation involved as to unduly speed up the processes of evolution upon our planet and thus upset the systemic economy most dangerously. People do not yet realize the potency of meditation and especially of group meditation. The zodiacal sign concerned is Gemini, and the reason will be apparent to all trained initiates. A word here is necessary in explanation of the expression used earlier in connection with the passing of adepts from off this second path onto the seventh path. It is stated that they alchemize themselves onto it. Some idea as to the meaning of this phrase may be gained through a consideration of the purposes of heat when divorced from moisture, and of the method of employing such heat. The adepts use the dry alchemical fires to produce the results they desire in aiding the evolutionary process. As they use these dry fires, the reaction upon themselves is such that they transmute the electrical spark, or the monad within the flame of the planetary life, and break it up in such a manner that it can pass through the systemic etheric web and onto that stream of cosmic energy emanating from the constellation mentioned above. They are then known as absolute sparks of parental love, or, in the exoteric language of the initiates, they pass on to path seven, that of absolute sonship. Page 1251. The attributes which the adept on this path has to possess prior to taking the needed training for the seventh cosmic method of approach is responsiveness to heat and a knowledge of rhythm. These words will, of course, mean nothing to the uninitiated, but to some it will convey much, and when it is noted that there will be found coupled with these two attributes an ability to see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration, as it is called in an old manual which those in training for this path employ, it will be apparent that the effects of fire and the laws of fiery energy and vibration are here dealt with. Those sons of men who at this time search for the heat of the love nature of the human unit, and who add to that search a cultivation of a vivid imagination and an intense power to visualize, are laying a groundwork upon which this later knowledge may be superimposed. But this is not the easy thing it sounds, for it involves an identification, at present impossible to the majority, and a power to realize the nature of that which is visualized, which negates the idea of duality, that which visualizes and that which is visualized. The method employed can only be expressed as the entering of the burning ground. The power to do this is gained through passing through three preliminary burning grounds, as is easily to be seen. 1. The burning ground which lies between the hall of ignorance and the hall of learning, This is the destructive fire which man creates under the working of the law of karma. 2. The burning ground of the dead personality which lies between the hall of learning and the hall of wisdom. It is found upon the shores of the river of life and has to be passed prior to the third initiation. Page 1252. 3. The burning ground which is found when a man is ready to pass out of the hall of wisdom as a full adept. It is a triple burning ground and is found upon the mountain top, being kept alive and flaming by all the winds of heaven. It is responsible for the destruction of the egoic or causal body. The third produces a spiritual alchemicalization, whereas the other two produced results in the objective or form side and the subjective or consciousness aspect of his triple nature. When these three burning grounds are passed, then the adept is prepared for another and fiercer experience. The hierarchies connected with this path are mainly the third and the fourth. Only the human units can pass on to these two paths. The Deva hierarchies of the third order have already passed upon them, and it is their previous work which enables man to do so. This is a great mystery, and more must not be revealed about it. The group of the silent watchers of all degrees are closely connected with this second cosmic path. All of them are lords of sacrifice and are animated solely by love, and all have therefore passed through the sacrificial burning grounds. It is only possible to give the most elementary of the exoteric symbols. It takes the form of a funeral pyre in full conflagration and with four flaming torches, one at each corner. From the center of the pyre, a fivefold star mounts like a rocket towards a flaming sun of a predominantly rosy hue. Path 2, Path of Magnetic Work. Attributes: responsiveness to heat and knowledge of rhythm. Source: an unknown constellation via Gemini. Method: the entering of the burning ground. Hierarchy: the third and fourth. Symbol: a funeral pyre, four torches and a fivefold star mounting towards the sun. Quality gained: electrical velocity. Page 1253. Path 3, Path of Training for Planetary Logoi. This path is one that attracts to itself only a few comparatively of the sons of men. It involves a peculiar form of development and the faculty of continued awareness along with spiritual identification, which is the distinguishing characteristic of the seven cosmic paths. The adept who chooses this path preserves in a peculiar way the faculty of sense perception plus identification with the spiritual aspect. They are constantly spoken of in the occult archives as the lords whose Maya Virupa continuously recurs. As they work with the psyche or the soul of manifestation and are primarily concerned with the subjective side of life, they are connected with that center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said, which is the source of conscious sensation. Therefore, they are vitalized from the solar plexus of that great existence whose all-embracing vitality holds our logos, along with other solar logoi, within the sphere of his consciousness. As is well known, the solar plexus is the center which synthesizes the reactions and the essential virtues of the lower three centers. This point must be borne in mind when studying this cosmic path. These adepts are also called the lords of cosmic Maya, for they work with that faculty which is responsible for illusion and with the relation of the knower to that which is to be known. Remember here that we are not considering the three worlds of human endeavor, except insofar as they form a part of a whole. The attributes which predispose a man for the work of training himself for the path of a planetary logos are three in number, and may be expressed thus. Page 1254. 1. Cosmic vision. These adepts are connected with the logoic third eye. 2. Deva hearing. 3. Psychic correlation. All the senses are, as we know, connected with some center, and these centers are in turn connected with planetary centers, which are themselves energized from an analogous cosmic source. The adept on this third path has a specific connection with the energy which emanates from those cosmic centers which are related to spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. The sense of touch has primarily to do with the objectivity of the dense physical form, and with it this particular group of adepts has nothing to do. Sight, hearing, and the power to correlate the relation between the self and the not-self is theirs, but the not-self comes specifically under the guidance and the stimulation of a totally different group of cosmic workers. It is difficult to convey a clear meaning in this connection, and the student must remember that we are dealing with spirit and with the other two types of cosmic energy. This path is trodden by those who will take up the work of the seven planetary logoi of the next solar system and of the 49 subplanetary logoi, their assistants and of certain other entities working in that particular department. There will be seven systems, though we are only concerned with the major three, of which our present solar system is but the second. Each Chohan of a ray takes a certain number of initiates of the sixth initiation and trains them specially for this work. Special aptitude in color and sound predisposes the choice, and the ability to work with psyche, or with the spirits in evolution, marks a man out for this high post. We might say that the planetary logoi are the divine psychologists, and therefore in the training for this post, psychology is the basic subject, though it is a psychology inconceivable as yet to us. Page 1255. Every planetary logos has, in his own special planet, schools for the development of subordinate logoi, and there trains them, giving them opportunity for wide experience. Even the logoi themselves progress onward, and their places must be taken. Students may be surprised to know that the source of the peculiar cosmic energy which is found streaming towards our system along this cosmic path is that of the sun Betelgeuse. This name is, however, a blind. The reason that certain facts connected with this sun have lately come more prominently before the public is, in reality, a subjective one. The science of the soul, in its various aspects, mental, psychical, and spiritual, is making much headway now in the world and is absorbing more and more the attention of thinkers. This is the result of certain waves of energy impinging upon our solar system and thus eventually finding their way to our planet. Betelgeuse, from the occult standpoint, is a system of the second order, just as our solar system is one of the fourth order. There is consequently a relation between these two numbers, both in the system and the cosmos. This influence reaches our system via the sign Sagittarius. The work that adepts on this path have to accomplish primarily is to make possible the manifestation of the monad of the solar logos through the medium of the body of consciousness, or through the soul form. They thus repeat on a higher level the work of those builders who create and make manifest the body through which the soul seeks to express itself. They are not concerned with objectivity and have a relation to that fifth hierarchy which gives to man his egoic body. The adepts on our Earth planet who seek this path do so through the department of the Maha Chohan, which works with the intelligence or mental aspects of manifestation. Page 1256. From this third department they pass under the direct training of one of the Buddhas of activity, and in the final stages are personally taught by Sanat Kumara, functioning as the embodied planetary logos. This training concerns itself with three main subjects. One, with color, that which veils the spirit aspect, as dense form veils the soul. Two, with sound, that which spirit utters in order to make itself conscious and to produce psychic awareness. The whole science of mantra yoga is mastered by them, but only in connection with the higher planes and where the cosmic planes are concerned. 3. With the nature of duality, that which is basically the science of the soul. It is difficult to express in words the method employed by a master of the wisdom as he enters this cosmic path. It has been called the method of prismatic identification, therefore it concerns the color veils which shroud the spiritual energy. Another mode of expressing the same truth is to say that it is the method of understanding the song of life. As the stars sing together, as the chant of the gods peals forth in the great choir of the heavens, it produces a corresponding color symphony. This particular mode of identification enables the adept to act as a director in the chorus and to produce the needed color effects and chords. When he can do this to perfection, he is then in a position to take up office as a planetary locus. More, it is not permitted to say, and the above is but a symbolic way of expressing a basic and difficult truth. The symbol of this path, and the only one it is possible to make exoteric, is a radiant cross of colored light. It has the long limb formed of the seven colors of the solar spectrum, and the transverse limb is composed of 12 gradations of colors as yet unknown to man. Page 1257. In the center of the cross is to be seen a five-pointed star in a deep indigo shade, and behind it is a blazing sun of a warm, dark blue. Above the whole are certain sensa characters depicted in gold and conveying to the initiated adept the name of one or other of the planetary schools in which this particular line of study is undertaken. There are, as has been already said, seven such schools, and candidates for this path from our planetary scheme are transferred to the inner round and from thence to the Jupiter scheme. The quality gained is cosmic etheric vision, the extent of the vision developed being within the seven systems which form, along with our solar system, the seven centers in the cosmic life with whom our solar logos is allied. This is sometimes called septenary cosmic clairvoyance. One more fact of interest might here be added. This path is sometimes called the lotus path, as it concerns itself with the construction of the logoic lotuses of solar logoi. The schools which prepare for this work are called, in the mystic parlance of the adepts, the lotus lands. The curriculum is termed at times the lotus sleep, as it involves a condition of complete negation where the form side of manifestation is concerned, and an entire abstraction, thus producing a type of solar samadhi. Whilst this is being undergone, the adept functions in a form or vehicle which is a correspondence upon the plane of Atma to the Maya Virupa on the plane of mind. Path 3, the path of training for planetary logoi, attributes, cosmic vision, deva hearing, and psychic correlation. Source, Betelgeuse via the sign Sagittarius. Hierarchy, the fifth. Method, prismatic identification. Symbol, a colored cross with a star at the center and backed by a blazing sun surmounted by a sensa word. Quality, cosmic etheric vision or septenary clairvoyance. Page 1258. Path 4, the path to Sirius. This path is of all the paths the most veiled in the clouds of mystery. The reason for this mystery will only be apparent to the pledged initiate, though a clue to the secret may be gained if it is realized that in a peculiar and esoteric sense, the sun Sirius and the Pleiades hold a close relation to each other. It is a relation analogous to that which lower mind holds to higher mind. The lower is receptive to, or negatively polarized, to the higher. Sirius is the seat of higher mind, and Mahat, as it is called, or universal mind, sweeps into manifestation in our solar system through the channel of the Pleiades. It is almost as if a great triangle of Mahatic energy was thus formed. Sirius transmits energy to our solar system via that, quote, sevenfold brooding mother, the silver constellation, whose voice is as a tinkling bell, and whose feet pass lightly o'er the radiant path between our worlds and hers. Close quote. Within the solar system, there is an interesting correspondence to this cosmic interplay in the relation between the Venus scheme, our Earth scheme, and the Venus chain in our scheme. Curiously enough, it will be through a comprehension of the human antaskarana, or the path which links higher and lower mind, and which is constructed by the thinker during the process of evolution, that light on this abstruse matter will come. There is, in connection with our planetary logos, just such an antaskarana, and as he builds and constructs it, it forms part of the fourth path and permits the passage of the bulk of our humanity to this distant objective, and this without obstruction. Page 1259. A clue to the nature of this path, and as to the reason why so many of the human monads seek this particular stream of energy, lies in the right understanding of the above suggestion. The initiates who tread this way are primarily those of the fourth and the sixth order. As earlier pointed out, this is the path that the Lords of Compassion most frequently follow, and at this time the Egyptian Master and the Master Jesus are preparing themselves to tread it. The mystics of the Occident who have come into incarnation during the past 1,000 years are a peculiar group of egos whose impulse is towards this type of cosmic energy. In this system, they have developed certain basic recognitions, and the ecstasy of the Occidental mystic is the germ latent within him, which will someday flower forth into that cosmic rapture for which we have as yet no name. Cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss are the attributes of the fourth path. It is a form of identification which is divorced from consciousness altogether. The reason also why the majority of the sons of men follow this path lies in the fact of its numerical position. These units of the fourth kingdom, the bulk of the fourth creative hierarchy on this fourth globe of the fourth scheme in a solar system of the fourth order, are innately compelled to seek this fourth way in order to perfect themselves. They are called the blissful dancing points of fanatical devotion. This is as near as we can get to the true description. They have also been described as the revolving wheels which turn upon themselves and find the open door to perfect bliss. The energy of Path 4 reaches us from Sirius via the sun. This must be understood as a blind behind which one of the signs of the zodiac veils itself. The hierarchies concerned with this specific type of cosmic force hide themselves under the numbers 14 and 17. Page 1260. This will serve as complete blind to the average reader, but will carry to the pledged chela the hint needed to produce illumination. The method whereby the adept fits himself to pass upon this path is termed that of duplex rotary motion and rhythmic dancing upon the square. The symbol which is first given to the pledged disciple to study, but which may, however, be described, is a duality of interlocked wheels revolving at a great pace in opposite directions and producing a unified whole. These wheels are portrayed as manifesting electric blue flame, rotating and revolving with great rapidity around an equal armed cross. The cross is pictured in orange fire with a deep emerald green circle, flaming at the point in the center where the four arms of the cross meet. The symbolism of these colors links this fourth path to the solar system preceding this one. In that system, the Sirian influence was more potent than in the present one. It is not possible to add more to this beyond pointing out that the quality gained by the adept who treads this path may not be revealed. He comes under the concentrated influence of the energy which is identified with the planetary antaskarana. It is not permitted, therefore, to state what its specific quality may be, as it would convey too much information to the intelligent reader as to the nature and the objective of our particular planetary logos. Path 4, the path to Sirius. Attributes, cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss. Source, Sirius via the sun, which veils a zodiacal sign. Hierarchy, veiled by the numbers 14 and 17. Method, duplex rotary motion and rhythmic dancing upon the square. Symbol, two wheels of electric fire revolving around an orange cross with an emerald at the center. Quality, unrevealed. page 1261. Path 5, the ray path. This path is one of the great distributing paths of the system and is trodden by the adept who has a clear understanding of the laws of vibration. It leads to the next cosmic plane with great facility and is therefore called the outer door of entry. As we know, the seven rays which manifest throughout our solar system are but the seven sub-rays of one great ray, that of love wisdom. This ray path is the one upon which the majority of the masters of the wisdom pass. In the same way, many of the lords of compassion pass on to path 4. 5/8 of the former pass on to this path, just as 4/5 of the adepts of suffering pass on to path 4. In considering these numbers, it must be borne in mind that the figures are of very great magnitude. 1/5 of the compassionate lords is a vast number, whilst 3/8 is a stupendous number of monads. We must remember in this connection also that we are only dealing with the adepts of the fifth initiation and are not taking into consideration initiates of lower degrees nor disciples of many grades. It is useless for average man to ponder upon these figures. They are too difficult to compute and involve calculations most abstruse and intricate. This can be demonstrated by pointing out that from these figures must be subtracted that 2/5 which, in the next round, pass before the judgment throne and are rejected. Out of the remaining 3/5, only a percentage, which may not be revealed, reach final adeptship, though all pass upon the path. The 5/8 above referred to and the 4/5 have reference only to the two great groups of Aseka initiates. Page 1262. Adepts who pass upon the ray path have to possess attributes which make them exceedingly responsive to vibration. In their group work, regarding all the units upon this path as forming a unified whole, the results achieved might be compared to that of a compass upon a ship. They respond primarily to a basic vibration, not through sensation, but through that which is the outgrowth of sensation. It is a form of realization which is the cosmic correspondence to the reaction which comes when the skin is touched. It is not consciousness, but knowledge through vibration. They are themselves identified with a certain vibration, and they respond to that vibration alone, which is the higher correspondence upon the cosmic planes. Other vibrations they ignore. They are taught how to insulate themselves so that no vibration save the one which reaches them from the cosmic source of the synthetic ray can touch them. Students can get some idea of the lower correspondence to this as they study the compass, its responsiveness to a certain magnetic current, and the tendency which it demonstrates to point ever towards the north. These adepts of the fifth path are the constituent factor which occultly holds our solar system steadily equilibrized in one specific direction. Their main characteristic or attribute may be described as a sense of cosmic direction. The source of energy to which they respond may be regarded as the pole star. It should nevertheless be pointed out that this star serves only as a blind for a constellation which lies behind, a constellation which exists only in etheric matter. It is consequently ignored by astronomers, though its influence is exceedingly potent within our system. It should be borne in mind also that upon another planet within our solar ring Parsnot, this fifth path is the one that the majority of their adepts follow. Adepts who are on this path, therefore, will pass to this other planetary scheme prior to finding their way to the sun, and from thence to cosmic spheres. Page 1263. Adepts from other schemes are not transferred to our Earth scheme as a school of training, as it is not a sacred planet, and therefore lacks such a specific school. The influence which emanates from the pole star, and which is such a potent factor in our solar system, reaches our planet via the sign Aquarius. The reasons will be noted if the student bears in mind the significance of water as a symbol of the emotions, which are but a lower manifestation of love, desire. Aquarius is a force center from which the adept draws the water of life and carries it to the multitude. This force from the pole star, via Aquarius, is of special power at this time, and the day of opportunity is therefore great. It is one of the agencies which make the coming of the great Lord a possibility. He is himself upon the fifth path, just as the Manu is upon the third. Hence the close link between the two paths, for those on the fifth path can pass to the third, and vice versa. The first and the seventh, the second and the fourth, and the third and the fifth, are but the two sides of one whole, or the two aspects of the one path. These three paths, with the fourth path, constitute two paths, and the two paths are but one. This great mystery may not further be enlarged upon. The hierarchies which play a great part in the introduction of polar influence are the first and the second. It was this occult truth which had such a bearing upon the nature of the first two races of mankind and upon their habitat. The method whereby the adept develops the needed powers for this path have been hinted at above. They might be expressed as a process of electrical insulation and the imprisonment of polar magnetism. It is not permitted to say more. The symbol of this path is five balls of fire, blue fire, confined within a sphere. This sphere is formed by a serpent biting its tail, and the entire body of the serpent is closely covered with written sensa characters. These characters embody the mantram whereby the adept insulates himself from the magnetic flow of all currents, save that for which he is responsible. Page 1264. The quality which the adept develops as he treads this path can only be given in the words of the old commentary, quote, "The depression at the northern point permits entrance of that which stabilizes and acts as the factor of resistance to that which seeketh to deter or to distract." Close quote. Perhaps cosmic stability and magnetic equilibrium serve best to convey the necessary idea. Path 5, the ray path, attributes, a sense of cosmic direction. Source, the pole star via Aquarius. Hierarchies, the first and the second. Method, a process of electrical insulation and the imprisonment of polar magnetism. Symbol, five balls of fire enclosed within a sphere. Sphere is formed of a serpent inscribed with the mantram of insulation. Quality, cosmic stability and magnetic equilibrium. There is no way in which we can express any teaching or give any information anent the sixth and seventh paths. All that can be said is as follows. Path 6, the path the Logos himself is on. It will be apparent to all those students who have studied with care the world processes in the light of the law of correspondences that the Logos on the cosmic planes is evolving inner cosmic vision, just as man in his lesser degree is aiming at the same vision in the system. This might be called the development of the cosmic third eye. Page 1265. In the physical plane structure of the eye lies hid the secret, and in its study may come some revelation of the mystery. A certain portion of the eye is the nucleus of sight and the apparatus of vision itself. The remainder of the eye acts as a protecting shell. Both parts are required, and neither can exist without the other. It is so in the cosmic sense also, but the analogy exists on such high levels that words only dim and blur the truth. Certain of the sons of men, and Nucleus, who reached a very high initiation in a previous solar system, formed an esoteric group around the Logos when he decided upon further progress. In consequence, he formed this solar system, desire for cosmic manifestation, urging him on. This esoteric group remains with the Logos upon the atomic or the first plane of the system, on the subjective or inner side, and it corresponds in an occult sense to the pupil of the eye. The real home of these great entities is upon the cosmic Buddhic plane. Gradually, and by dint of hard effort, certain masters have qualified themselves, or are qualifying themselves, to take the place of the original members of this group, thus permitting of their return to a cosmic center around which our system and the greater system of Sirius revolves. Only one adept here and there has the necessary qualities, for the development involves a certain type of response to cosmic vibration. It means a specializing of the inner sight and the development of a certain amount of cosmic vision. More of the Deva evolution pass to this path than do the human. Human beings pass to it via the Deva evolution, which can be entered by transference to the fifth or Ray path. On this latter path, the two evolutions merge, and from the fifth, the sixth path can be entered. Page 1266. Path 7, the path of absolute sonship. This sonship is a correspondence on the highest plane to that grade of discipleship which we call Son of the Master. It is the sonship to a being higher than our Logos of whom we may not speak. It is also the great controlling path of karma. The Lipika lords are upon this path, and all who are fitted for that line of work and who are close to the Logos in a personal and intimate sense, pass to this seventh path. It is the path of the special intimates of the Logos, and into their hands he has put the working out of karma in the solar system. They know his wishes, his will, and his aim, and to them he entrusts the carrying out of his behests. This group, associated with the Logos, forms a special group linked to a still higher Logos. These two paths enter into cosmic states of consciousness, as inconceivable to man as the consciousness of the ego of a human being is to an atom of substance. It is unnecessary and profitless, therefore, to enlarge further upon these exalted states. Page 1267. C. Seven esoteric stanzas. Note. These seven stanzas form only one true stanza out of the oldest book in the world, and one which the eye of the average man has never contacted. Only the sense here is given, and not a literal translation, and certain phrases are eliminated in all of them for one or other of the three following reasons. Either the manuscript from which these extracts are taken lacks certain of the words or symbols which are missing on account of the extreme age of the material upon which the text is indited, or their insertion would convey too much knowledge to the man whose perception is sufficiently awakened. Thirdly, the insertion of the omitted words would only serve to awaken confusion and even ridicule on account of the impossibility of translating them correctly. They concern realizations far in advance of the comprehension of man at this time. Stanza 1, from Archaic Formulas, number 49. Path 1, the path of earth service. The dragon who hideth within the lowest of the sacred three ariseth in his might. In his mouth he holdeth the balances, and in the balances he weigheth the sons of men, who, upon the field of battle, are impaled upon his spear. In the great balance upon which his eyes are fixed, one scale is veiled in fire of vivid green, the other hides itself behind a screen of red. Those sons of men whose note responds not to the note of red enter the scale upon the right-hand side. From thence they pass upon a path which dimly can be seen behind the dragon's form. This path is entered by a fourfold door. The sacred phrases of the Sons of Light define it thus, quote, "The portal of the luminous light, which leadeth from the green into the heart of indigo, by that rare fire and richly colored blaze for which no name on earth hath yet been found." Close quote. its tone is hidden. End of side 1, cassette number 30, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1268, continued on side 2. Side 2, cassette number 30, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 3, division C, stanza 1 of the 7 esoteric stanzas, on page 1268. The sons of men, and few their number is, enter that door of luminous fire when they surmount the crest of gold which riseth on the dragon's head above the point where gleams the eye of fire. This eye of fire transmits a strong vibration from the triple lahas into a center in the adept's head. This, when aroused, reveals the life that is, the form that shall be, and the work united of the two and four. These two are drawn together. Their essence blends. The man who seeks this path is then impaled upon the spear and thrust within the fiery light which veils the balance. The mystic process then proceeds and blank. Thus is the work of Saturn seen, and thus the consummation is effected. Through Saturn's fateful force, the victor then is swiftly projected to the summit of the crest, and thence to that vibrating disc which guards the fourfold door of luminosity. Three words are then committed to the liberated one. He stands triumphant on the speeding disc, and when their utterance has blank, the door is seen ajar, and from its other side a voice is heard to say, quote, "Son of compassion, Master of love and life, the wheel turns all the time for those who battle on the fiery ground beneath the dragon's feet." Close quote. The first word having entered on its mission, the victor lifts his head and seeks to utter forth the second word. But as he sounds it forth, he arrests its wide vibration, drawing again its power within his heart. Page 1269. The motion of the disc slows down. The portal of the fiery light opens more widely yet. A form is seen. Unto the master of the fiery heart, this form presents three precious jewels. Their names are hidden from those sons of men who have not yet attained the dragon's crest. These jewels three give to the master of the fiery heart a portion of the triple force which circulates within the planet's sphere. With eye intent and heart alive with burning love, the master utters not the final word. He steps from off the disc and turns his lotus feet back to that path he earlier left behind, and from the other side remounts the dragon's crest. Himself a dragon, he now identifies himself with those who seek the beast, and thus he serves, turning his back upon the door of light. He is the offspring of the dragon and serves his time. Unknown and unseen by him, a greater disc becomes apparent, turning unceasingly. He seeth not its movement, for his eyes are on the world he has returned to serve. The disc revolves and brings around, before his yet unseeing eye, a greater, wider door. His eye of vision opens. He treads the first great path, yet knows it not. The note that sounds forth from that first great way is yet unheard by him. Its sound is lost in the uprising cry of the children of the lesser dragon. Page 1270. Stanza 17, from Archaic Formulas, number 49. Path 2, the path of magnetic work. The cosmic burning ground of living fire lieth in the nethermost part of the western heavens. Its smoke riseth into that high place where dwell the sacred lahas to whom the triple unity within our solar space tender their offerings and their fealty. Its scent of spices, sweet and faint aroma of incandescent blank, reach to the utmost confines of the starry vault. The two arise and pass the essential flame through through their burning ground, blending their lesser smoke with the greater. This smoke formeth a path which reacheth forth unto those spheres within the radiant form of that attractive life to whom the sons of being and of men in all their many grades offer their prayers, their life, and adoration. The master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth and is not holy, seeth the fiery way. He respondeth to its heat and seeks to warm himself within its waves of radiant fire electric. A center at the midway point within the great Kumaric body formeth the pyre. It pulsates and it glows. It becomes a sea of living fire and draws within itself its own. The smoke which issues from this fiery wheel formeth a living way, veiling the steps ahead. Page 1271. The master, with the midway wheel on fire, enters within the smoke and enters blind. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. He feels no guiding hand. Only the fifth and latest known aids him to forward grope and pass straight onward through the veiling clouds. Only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. Only the sons of blank and Gemini in parentheses know the way in. Only the suns with blazing fire issuing from the midway point may enter in. They throw their beams ahead to illuminate the way. The adept of the funeral pyre, the master of the blazing sphere, consumes himself. Offering himself the one that is, the new-made threefold word, the sacred Om, the fire of God, he treads the burning ground and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun. He, blank, and draws the people onward to their goal, warming their hearts, producing dual fire, and leading all towards the portal of the sun, and thence to, blank, Gemini. The mystic word is veiled by letters four, E, M, and A and O. In the significance of their numbers and the utilization of their colors is the smoke dissipated. Page 1272. Stanza 39 from Archaic Formulas, number 49. Path 3, Training for Planetary Loci. The eye of Shiva opens wide, and those within its range of vision awaken to another form of sleep. They sleep, but yet they see and hear. Their eyes are closed, yet naught that passes in the greater cosmic seven is missed by them. They see, and yet they vision not. They hear, and yet their ears are deaf. Three times the eye of Shiva closes, and three times it opens wide. Thus three great groups of lotus lords are impelled upon their way. One group is called the lotus lords of deep unseeing sleep. They dream, and as their dreams take form, the worlds speed on. The great and cruel Maya of the plains of sweet illusion comes into being, draws into its snare the points of unconnected light, and dims their luster. Thus is the work pursued. The eye through which these lotus lords contact the planes of cosmic vision is inward turned. They see not that which is upon the outer rim. The second group has for its name the lords of the inner lotus. These are they who sleep, yet not so deep. They wake enough to guard themselves from straying or the secret ring pass not, which rims the great illusion. They straightly stand, and through their very steadfastness the forms are held together. The eye through which these lotus lords look out upon the great illusion is upward turned. Page 1273. They see but that which lieth just above them. They onward look to that vast mountain top which pierceth through the circumscribing wheel. This mountain top shineth with radiant light, reflected from the face of him whom the lords of worlds within our solar sphere have never seen. The third group is the strange, mysterious triple group whose name must not be heard as yet within those planetary spheres whose color blends not with the blue in just proportion. The eye through which these lotus lords gaze out upon the cosmic path is outward turned. Its hue is indigo. The eye through which the middle group of lotus lords look up is turquoise blue, whilst the lords of deep unmoving slumber gaze in through sapphire blue. Thus is the way of triple blue formed into one. This latter aspect of the eye of Shiva directs the other two and gathers all its energy from a far distant cosmic sphere. The two respond, and in the treading of the cosmic way, weave triple force into that path which meets the need of those who later seek to tread it. They see, they hear, they dream, and dreaming build. Their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf, and yet they are not dumb. They sound the several cosmic words and weave the seven with the 12 and multiply the 5. Thus are the planets built, thus guided, ruled, and known. Page 1274. Stanza 77 from Archive 49. Path 4, the path to Sirius. The mysterious Lahas of the sacred hidden fire withdraw their thought, emerge from meditation, and all that is between the first and third is lost to sight. Naught is. Sound dies away. The words are lost, for there is none to hear. The colors fade, and every point grows dim. The ocean passes into quietude. The mother slumbers and forgets her son. The father, too, retreats within the unknown place where fire lies hidden. The serpent stretches forth inert. Its coils smother the lower fire and choke the sparks. Silence reigns. The absent Lahas forget the worlds and play at other games. All passes into nothingness. Yet still the Lahas themselves remain. The mysterious Lahas of the fivefold force unite their thought, sink into meditation deep, and link the first and third. The worlds emerge and, rushing into forms prepared, pursue their cycles. The 12-pointed play their part and are the result of the communion of the one above the sun with one of the seven wives. The master of the sacred heart is he who builds a path between the sphere whereon his lot is cast and the great Manasic orb. Page 1275. He builds it knowingly, calling in the aid of points of blue. These emerge from the heart of one of the seven, the Pleiades. These he bloweth upon, and they find their place as stones in the one way he constructeth for the treading of the many, as they wend their way through mind to mind and thence to understanding. Manas to Mahat, and thence to Buddhi. Page 1276. Stanza 147 from Archive 49. Path 5, the Ray Path. The adjuster holds the balances and the scales are duly set. The energies converge and shake them out of equilibrium. They descend sometimes upon the right-hand side and sometimes upon the left. The energies are 5 in number, and their major hue is gold. 3 great words are spoken by the adjuster, and each word is heard by those whose ears have been deaf for 7 cycles, and whose lips have been sealed for nigh upon 14 rounded terms. The first word contains the value numerical of the synthetic indigo. It reverberates forth. The scales descend. He who hath ears to hear it, mounteth the scales, and addeth to that word another sound. None hath heard it save he who hath stood before the Prince of Doom, and hath seen darkness descend upon the fivefold sons of flesh. This dual word buildeth a wall which surroundeth the Son of Man whose lips are dumb. It holdeth him secure until the word is spoken which will unseal the fount of speech. This silence lasteth for 7 times 49 years, and each year for a day. When the silent one within the wall seeth the ray approach, when he changeth the key of the earlier spoken word, the disruption of the wall is seen, and a door openeth before him. Page 1277. The second word holds hid the number of the sacred blue. As it reverberates, the scales ascend, and the man who seeketh to mount within them seeth the moment pass, and knoweth not what to do. He struggleth for speech, and raiseth his right hand in supplication to the great adjuster. From the sacred halls of the city of the White Island there issueth a messenger who speaketh to him the following mystic words, quote, "As the power enters by that which is uppermost, and as it issues from the lotus within the head of him who hath held his peace, utter this word, blank, and look within," close quote. He who hath held his speech breaks then the silence. He utters the 4 deep sounds which cause the scale again to drop within his reach. Another door is seen. It opens wide, and thus the way is trodden. The third word holds securely sealed the key to the outer blue. It contains the order for inversion, and only those can hear that word whose ears have been closed for 11 aeons. It is never heard within the realms of pain. Few, therefore, hear it, and those few elude the scales, escape the fiery eye of the great adjuster, and in their very blindness find the path which lieth upon the further side of the scales. These words of high direction issue from that which lieth upon the blank of the directing life which holdeth our Lord of life upon his path. Page 1278. Stanza 6 from Archive 49. Path 6. The Path of the Solar Logos. The major third carrieth within it the vibration of that which hath already been. The cosmic Lord from out the greater 7, whose sacred name is hid, seeketh the center of his life from out the sacred 7. This is the mystery hid, the inner secret found in the heart of cosmic space within the groups divine. The sacred 7 with the greater 7 approach their primary, the one who standeth above, and in their cyclic outer sweep will some day touch. The 2 become the 1, and are lost in their primary. Seek ye the same on lesser scale, within the inner round, and on the plane of density, see the lesser primary manifest. The law holds good. The mystery dissolves in time. The major third in both the lesser and the greater, the cosmic Lord with his dim reflection solar, completes his cycle, meets his brother, becomes the son, contacts the mother, and is himself the father. All is one, and naught divides save in transition and through the agency of time. The major fifth within the eternal now carrieth with it the vibration of that which is. It marks the point of cosmic knowledge that extendeth far ahead into the lengthening present. Page 1279. The cosmic Lord, whose sacred name holdeth for us the wisdom of the spheres, seeketh a form wherein to veil the essence, and through the progress of the aeons to perfect the great triplicity. Hid is the mystery, and veiled by that which is. Deep is the essence, and sheathed by that which moves. Profound the darkness, lost in the heart of being. Dense are the forms which hide the inner light. Gross is the sheath that acteth as a barrier, and crude the material veiling the latent life. The major fifth includes the minor third. The double major marks the point attained. When the major third is synchronized to the greater fifth, and the cosmic note apportioned to the Lord of Cosmic Love, whose essence is the fire, the sacred name is heard. The cosmic second approaches to the denser and the greater. He merges and he blends, and all is lost in dissonance adjusted. The spheres respond. The now becomes the past and blends within the time to be. The essence and the life, the point within the circle, and the eternal ring pass not, becomes as one, and all is peace for eons. Time ends, space disperses, naught is. Darkness reigns and silence on the waters. The central calm persists. The completed chord, the third, the fifth, and seventh within the eternal now, carrieth with it the vibration of that which is to be. Cometh the day be with us on the greater cosmic plane. Then life and love and power show forth as one. The cosmic Lord, whose sacred name as yet is hid e'en from the highest Chohan, holdeth within himself the source of cosmic action and the gain of cosmic love. Page 1280. The triple all enters from out of time and space into the center of pralayic peace. All is, yet all is not. The wheels turn not, the fires burn not, the veils of color dissipate. The three retire within the point of peace. The triple ring pass not, acteth no longer as a barrier. Page 1281. Stanza 4 from Archive 63. Path 7, the path of absolute sonship. That which hath no beginning and no end, that which is seen and yet remains unknown, that which we touch and yet find unattained, that is the one who passeth on his way. That which we call the Father and the Son, that which we deem too high for words to grasp, that which the Mother deems her Lord and God, that is the one who mounts the cosmic stair. That which is seen when each point of heavenly light sends out its beam upon the midnight blue, that which we hear in every cosmic note and sense beneath the sound of every form, that is the one who chants the heavenly lay and lends his light to swell the cosmic fire. That which is known by every son of God who masters step by step the path of gold, that which is heard by every Deva Lord who hears the word go forth as the aeons pass away, that which sounds forth the triple cyclic Aum, reserving yet another sound for higher cosmic planes, that is the one unknown, the unrevealed, the one who chants a note within a cosmic chord. That which in every aeon cometh forth and passeth through his cycle upon a cosmic path, that which in greater kalpas will play a godlike game, that which in all the cosmic spheres is called the one above the sun of violet hue, that is the one who shineth in the galaxy of stars. Page 1282. Such is the one to whom the sons of glory give everlasting homage as he passes on his way. To him be glory as the Mother, Father, Son, as the one who hath existed in the past, the now, and that which is to come. Page 1283. Finale. The morning stars sang in their courses. The great paean of creation echoeth yet and arouseth the vibration. There comes cessation of the song when perfection is achieved. When all are blended into one full chord, the work is done. Dissonance in space soundeth yet. Discord ariseth in many systems. When all is resolved into harmony, when all is blended into symphony, the grand chorale will reverberate to the uttermost bounds of the known universe. Then will occur that which is beyond the comprehension of the highest Chohan, the marriage song of the heavenly man. The Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Quote, the above invocation or prayer does not belong to any person or group, but to all humanity. The beauty and the strength of this invocation lies in its simplicity and in its expression of certain central truths which all men innately and normally accept. The truth of the existence of a basic intelligence to whom we vaguely give the name of God. The truth that behind all outer seeming, the motivating power of the universe is love. The truth that a great individuality came to earth, called by Christians the Christ, and embodied that love so that we could understand. The truth that both love and intelligence are effects of what is called the will of God. And finally, the self-evident truth that only through humanity itself can the divine plan work out. Close quote. Alice A. Bailey. End of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire by Alice A. Bailey. Copyright 1962 by Lucis Trust. Books by Alice A. Bailey. Initiation, Human and Solar. Letters on Occult Meditation. The Consciousness of the Atom. A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. The Light of the Soul and its Mechanism, From Intellect to Intuition, A Treatise on White Magic, From Bethlehem to Calvary, Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, Problems of Humanity, The Reappearance of the Christ, The Destiny of the Nations, Glamour, a World Problem, Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, The Unfinished Autobiography, Education in the New Age, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology, Volume 3, Esoteric Astrology, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, Volume 5, Rays and Initiations. This recording is made available by Lucis Trust, 866 United Nations Plaza, Suite 566 and 7, New York, New York, 10017. Contents outline in detail. Cassette number 1. Introductory postulates, page 3, side 1. Stanza of Jian, page 11, side 1. Section 1. Introductory remarks, page 37, side 2. Roman numeral 1. Fire in the macrocosm. page 37, side 2. Roman numeral 2, fire in the microcosm, page 45, side 2. Roman numeral 3, fire in manifestation, page 48, side 2. Cassette number 2. Division A, the internal fires of the sheaths, page 55, side 1. Roman numeral 1, the three channels, page 55, side 1. Roman numeral 2, fire elementals and devas, page 65, side 1. Division B, the personality ray and the first fire, page 69, side 1. Roman numeral 1, the work of the three rays, page 69, side 1. Roman numeral 2, the personality ray and the permanent atoms, page 71, side 1. Roman numeral 3, the personality ray and the law of karma, page 73, side 1. Division C, the etheric body and prana, page 77, side 1. Roman numeral 1, the nature of the etheric body, page 77, side 1. 1, its purpose and description, page 78, side 1. 2, 8 statements, page 81, side 2. Roman numeral 2, the nature of prana, page 87, side 2. 1, solar prana, page 90, side 2. 2, planetary prana, page 91, side 2. 3, the prana of forms, page 93, side 2. Roman numeral 3, the function of the etheric body, page 97, side 2. 1, it is the receiver of prana, page 97, side 2. 2, it is the assimilator of prana, page 99, side 2. 3, it is the transmitter of prana, page 101, side 2. Cassette number 3. 4, disorders of the etheric body, page 104, side 1. Roman numeral 4, macrocosmic and microcosmic ethers, page 111, side 1. 1, the planetary logos and the ethers, page 111, side 1. 2, cosmic and systemic ethers, page 116, side 1. 3, protective purpose of the etheric body, page 122, side 1. Roman numeral 5, death and the etheric body, page 128, side 2. Division D, kundalini and the spine, page 134, side 2. Roman numeral 1, kundalini and the three triangles, page 135, side 2. 1, in the head, page 135, side 2. 2, in the body, page 135, side 2. 3, at the base of the spine, page 135, side 2. Roman numeral 2, the arousing of kundalini, page 139, side 2. Division E, motion on the physical and astral planes, page 141, side 2. Roman numeral 1, preliminary remarks, page 141, side 2. Cassette number 4. Roman numeral 2, the effects of rotary motion, page 152, side 1. Roman numeral 3, the qualities of rotary motion, page 157, side 1. Roman numeral 4, rotary motion and symbolism, page 159, side 1. Roman numeral 5, motion and the centers, page 161, side 1. 1, the nature of the centers, page 163, side 1. 2, the centers and the rays, page 173, side 2. 3, the centers and kundalini, page 183, side 2. 4, the centers and the senses, page 185, side 2. Cassette number 5. 5, the centers and initiation, page 207, side 1. Division F, the law of economy, page 214, side 2. Roman numeral 1, its effect in matter, page 214, side 2. Roman numeral 2, its subsidiary laws, page 219, side 2. 1, the law of vibration, page 219, side 2. 2, the law of adaptation, page 219, side 2. 3, the law of repulsion, page 219, side 2. 4, the law of friction, page 219, side 2. Section 2, introductory questions, page 223, side 2. Roman numeral 1, what is the relation of the sun to the sun, page 225, side 2. Roman numeral 2, what is evolution and how does it proceed, page 231, side 2. Cassette number 6, Roman numeral 3, why is the solar system evolving along the lines of duality? Page 237, side 1. Roman numeral 4, what is consciousness and what is its place in the scheme? Page 243, side 1. Roman numeral 5, is there a direct analogy between a system, a planet, man, and an atom? Page 245, side 1. Roman numeral 6, what is the mind aspect? Who are the sons of mind? Page 259, side 2. Roman numeral 7, why is the progress of evolution cyclic? Page 273, side 2. Cassette number 7. Roman numeral 8, why is knowledge both exoteric and esoteric? Page 285, side 1. Roman numeral 9, what is the relation between A, the 10 schemes, B, the 7 sacred planets, C, the 7 chains in a scheme, D, the 7 globes in a chain, E, the 7 rounds in a globe, F, the 7 root races and sub-races? Page 288, side 1. Division A, the nature of manas or mind, page 308, side 2. Roman numeral 1, three manifestations of mind, page 308, side 2. Roman numeral 2, some definitions of manas or mind, page 309, side 2. 1. Manas is the fifth principle, page 309, side 2. 2. Manas is electricity, page 310, side 2. Cassette number 8. 3. Manas is that which produces cohesion, page 332, side 1. 4. Manas is the key to the fifth kingdom in nature, page 334, side 1. 5. Manas is the synthesis of five rays, page 336, side 1. 6. Manas is the intelligent will or purpose of an existence, page 337, side 1. Division B, Manas as a cosmic, systemic, and human factor, page 342, side 1. Roman numeral 1, the origin of Manas or mind, page 343, side 1. 1. Cosmic Manas, page 343, side 1. A, the process of individualization, page 343, side 1. B, the method of initiation, page 348, side 1. 2. Planetary Manas, page 350, side 1. A, consciousness and existence, page 350, side 2. B, will and ordered purpose, page 353, side 2. 3. Human Manas, page 355, side 2. A, man and the planetary logos, page 356, side 2. B, the logos of the Earth scheme, page 360, side 2. C, Venus and the Earth chain, page 367, side 2. Cassette number 9. 4, Manas and the Earth chain, page 378, side 1. A, the Earth chain and the incarnating monads, page 379, side 1. B, the fourth kingdom and the planetary hierarchy, page 386, side 1. C, a prophecy, page 389, side 1. D, a summation, page 393, side 1. Roman numeral 2, the position of Manas, page 395, side 1. 1. Manas and Karma, page 395, side 1. 2. Manas and Karmic Purpose, page 397, side 2. Roman numeral 3, the present stage of monastic development, page 401, side 2. 1. In the planets, page 402, side 2. 2. In the system, page 408, side 2. 3. On Earth, page 412, side 2. Cassette number 10. Roman numeral 4, the future of Manas, page 417, side 1. 1. The characteristics of Manas or mind, page 418, side 1. A. Discrimination, page 418, side 1. B. Ordered activity, page 421, side 1. C. Adaptability, page 423, side 1. 2. Development of the human mind, page 424, side 1. A. Ray effects, page 427, side 1. B. Animals, men, and the rays, page 457, side 2. Cassette number 11. C. Types of karma, page 469, side 1. 3. Manas in the final rounds, page 475, side 1. A. The transmutative process, page 475, side 1. B. Synthesis, page 498, side 2. Division C, the egric ray and solar fire, page 504, side 2. Roman numeral 1, the nature of the egric or causal body, page 505, side 2. Cassette number 12, 1, formed by contact of two fires, page 505, side 1. 2, produced at individualization, page 506, side 1. Roman numeral 2, the nature of the permanent atoms, page 507, side 1. 1, their purpose, page 507, side 1. 2, their place in the egoic body, page 510, side 1. A, the astral permanent atom, page 510, side 1. B, the atomic triangle, page 513, side 1. 3, the spirillae and the egoic ray, page 515, side 1. A, the composition of the permanent atom, page 515, side 1. B, the planes and fiery energy, page 518, side 1. C, the three fires, page 522, side 1. 4, summary, page 530, side 2. Roman numeral 3, the egoic lotus, page 536, side 2. 1, wheels or centers of energy, page 537, side 2. A, centers of force, page 537, side 2. B, the causal body, page 538, side 2. 2, the 12-petal lotus, page 538, side 2. A, the three knowledge petals, page 539, side 2. B, the three love petals, page 540, side 2. C, the three sacrifice petals, page 541, side 2. 3, summary, page 544, side 2. Cassette number 13. Division D, thought elementals and fire elementals, page 550, side 1. Roman numeral 1, thought forms, page 551, side 1. 1, their function, page 551, side 1. A, to respond to vibration, page 552, side 1. B, to provide vehicles for ideas, page 556, side 1. C, to carry out specific purpose, page 560, side 1. 2, the laws of thought, page 567, side 1. A, the three cosmic laws, page 567, side 1. B, seven systemic laws, page 569, side 2. Cassette number 14, Roman numeral 2, Thought Elementals and Devas, page 601, side 1. 1, the ruler of fire, Agni, page 601, side 1. A, Agni and the solar locus, page 601, side 1. B, Agni and the mental plane, page 604, side 1. C, Agni and the three fires, page 606, side 1. 2, the fire devas, the greater builders, page 612, side 2. A, introductory statements, page 612, side 2. B, the functions of the devas, page 620, side 2. C, the devas and the planes, page 627, side 2. From page 629 to 679 is cassette number 15. Cassette number 16. 3, the solar angels, the Agnish Vatas, page 679, side 1. Introduction, page 679, side 1. A, on the fifth principles, page 689, side 1. A, cosmically considered, page 689, side 1. B, hylozoistically considered, page 693, side 2. C, the solar angel and the fifth principle, page 698, side 2. B, on individualization, page 707, side 2. A, the work of the solar angel, page 707, side 2. Cassette number 17. B, individualization and the races, page 714, side 1. C, methods of individualization, page 717, side 1. D, avatars, their nature and their work, page 721, side 1. E, individualization, a form of initiation, page 729, side 1. C, on incarnation, page 732, side 2. A, cosmic, planetary, and human incarnation, page 732, side 2. B, the nature of pralaya, page 734, side 2. C, types of human rebirths, page 744, side 2. D, the future coming of the avatar, page 747, side 2. Cassette number 18. E. Impulse and Incarnation, page 760, side 1. F. The Activity of the Petris, page 773, side 2. G. The Work of Form Building, page 783, side 2. Cassette number 19. H. Incarnation and Karma, page 791, side 1. D. On the Building of the Causal Body, page 807, side 1. A. Introductory Remarks, page 807, side 1. B. The Evolution of the Petals, page 816, side 2. Cassette number 20. C. The Names of the Egoic Lotuses, page 840, side 1. D. The Petals and the Etheric Centers, page 857, side 2. E. Initiation and the Petals, page 868, side 2. Cassette number 21. 4. The Fire Elementals, the Lesser Builders, page 887, side 1. A. Introductory, page 887, side 1. B. Physical Plane Elementals, page 889, side 1. C. Elementals and the Ethers, page 910, side 2. Cassette number 22. D. Elementals and the Microcosm, page 936, side 2. End of cassette number 30. Continuing contents on cassette number 31.